It's Knob, it's Knob, it's Knob TV. It's Knob, it's Knob, it's Knob TV.
Hello and greetings to Knob TV, where we mix the best new music with paranormal and UFO stuff. This week's theme is weird rock and roll. And I speak to author Neil Nixon about some interesting Elvis and John Lennon stories. But yeah, rock and roll is weird, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there's all sorts. I think sometimes, you know, there's lots of drugs and booze and yeah. And that helps like raise people's consciousnesses to be more susceptible or, you know, more, you know, conducive to having paranormal experiences, maybe.
Yeah, could be right, yeah. I mean, it's always been the Robert Johnson making the pact with the devil and the crossroads, yeah. Things like that. Ozzy Osbourne biting heads off real bats, apparently.
Oh, yeah, I don't like to think about
That's before he married Sharon Osbourne. Yeah. I'd actually invited his son, Jack, onto the show.
Oh, yeah.
So he's probably not going to come on now. Slag off his dad.
Oh, damn. Ruined it.
Well, you'll see. Anyway, interesting topic, anyway.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing all about that. Yeah. Bit of Paul McCartney as well.
Oh, yeah. It's a really cool Paul McCartney story as well. Because apparently he died and was a replacement Paul McCartney was put in place.
Makes sense a bit, doesn't it? Because his music quality did drop off suddenly.
What, to the frog chorus? I actually think that's a great track, actually. Yeah. I think McCartney can do no wrong in my eyes, but there you go.
Everyone at Glastonbury was gutted that he didn't do the frog chorus.
I know, it's one of his greatest.
It really is. But yeah, so first up tonight, we've got some really hardcore, old school punk with Determinated.
That was rocking and rolling and vibes there from Determinated.
Have you seen them live?
Yes, I've felt them live.
That's more like it. Yeah, what a power.
Yeah, it's that double bass drum pedal and that helps as well. It's
like, love it.
Serious rock.
Yeah, Kevy had we went to his art exhibition, didn't we? The lead singer.
Talented artist, yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Mm, very good. And okay, next we're chatting to author Neil Nixon. Neil's written loads and loads of books about weird rock and roll. So I'm just chatting to him about Elvis, John Lennon and Paul McCartney.
Now, who's the most famous rock star to have a UFO experience?
Well, Elvis or John Lennon, you can't get more famous, and both of them.
Yeah, tell us about the Elvis one, because Uri Geller's already told our show about the John Lennon one.
All right. Well, Elvis just had a UFO sighting. It's a pretty inconsequential thing of a distant object in the sky, and it's okay. Marginally referenced in one or two of the books. I mean, Elvis had there's a documentary called The Searcher about Elvis, which is about his whole, the UFO experience is, probably was nothing in particular, but his whole kind of cosmic journey is another story in itself, and you wouldn't necessarily pick that up from the music. Hmm. But it's covered in a documentary called The Searcher, and it's also it's alluded to in other things. Priscilla Presley's biography, for example, Elvis and Me, is quite insightful on a number of Elvis things, including she discusses the one LSD trip he took, because she took it with him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And she's quite an interesting character. She was very down to earth, very kind of driven, very businesslike. There's a whole discussion about their sex life in that book, which is fairly frank and tells a different story to the kind of condemning stuff about Elvis that's come out. But yeah. He was clearly on a kind of journey, so he was mildly interested in aliens and UFOs, had one experience that was a little bit uncanny, but it's really inconclusive. So it's not on a par with John Lennon, where John Lennon and May Pang saw a UFO. It's, you know, John Lennon wrote it in Nobody Told Me, and it's even on there's a reference made to it on the cover of the Walls and Bridges album, isn't there? So, which I'm assuming Uri Geller.
No, Uri Geller told us about the time that he had a visitation in his room in the Dakota building and was given a golden egg by an alien being. And Uri Geller now has this golden egg in his museum in Israel.
Is that right? So how come that's not hugely covered in the plethora of Beatle biographies and stuff like that?
Because it's just something between John Lennon and Uri Geller. They used to live next to each other in New York. And this is the story that Uri told us. So this UFO experience with John Lennon and May Pang, just tell us, where was it? Where did it happen?
So it was during the what's known in these days as the Lost Weekend, John Lennon's Lost Weekend, i.e. when he was split from Yoko. And I suppose the best source of it actually is a book called, I'm looking up on the shelf. I drag it off the shelf, but it's not there. It's a book called, that's your best source for it, Loving John by May Pang, right? It's the story that she wrote about her affair with John Lennon, but it's covered more in detail in there because she just discusses what they did. He had a daylight sighting of an uncanny object in the sky in New York and got a long enough look at it to figure out that he couldn't quite figure what it was. It looked really uncanny. So a skeptical UFO investigator would say, well, it's an object in the sky that hangs there for a while, so he may be misidentifying a balloon or something. But he got a good enough look at it to think it was none of those things. And there's a song called Nobody Told Me, which was posthumously released. It was one of the ones that he and Yoko had recorded at the Record Plant in the same sessions that produced the Double Fantasy album, but there were a bunch of other outtakes and stuff that eventually became like the Milk and Honey album, but that was after he died. Yeah. I mean, interestingly, a little bit of Beatle trivia here for you, but John Lennon never intended to release that song. Although it went on to be a sort of minor hit for him in this country in the wake of his death. But the original intention of that song, which has a line in it which says, and there's UFOs over New York and aren't you surprised? The original intention of that song was that John Lennon had written it for Ringo Starr to sing.
Oh, great.
And Ringo Starr's Stop and Smell the Roses album, which came out in 1981, was being recorded the way that Ringo recorded all his albums, basically. When he had an album to do, he tended to ring his ex-Beatle mates up and say, well, can you do something here, you know?
Yeah, give me a song, yeah.
Yeah, give us a song on that. And there was a session booked in January 1981 for that song. And the intention was that Ringo would have sung it. And I could rant all day about this, but I'll just keep it down to one significant point. I think that was a really good call, because actually the point John Lennon was trying to make was that he'd become so convinced by this UFO sighting that he thought it was a kind of run-of-the-mill sort of thing, that people were seeing these all the time. And so the "Ain't You Surprised" line was like, well, they're there, you know, they're lying to us. And yeah, so to give it to Ringo, to let down-to-earth Ringo sing that.
Okay, thank you, Neil. Interesting. I mean, Uri Geller's already talked about one of John Lennon's alien experiences on the show, and it's good to hear another one. But I didn't know about the Elvis one.
No.
I mean, Elvis is quite open to these things, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff.
Yeah. And he's got some more fabulous tales to come in the next part as well.
Yeah. I'm sure there's loads of, like, musicians out there that might have UFO experiences.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Robbie Williams as well.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
I've invited him onto the show as well. Robbie, wherever you are.
Yeah. See you next series, Robbie.
Yeah, that'd be good.
EMF. I remember reading about their, like, UFO experiences.
Unbelievable. Anyone's not around in the 90s won't get that. Which is most of our audience. All six of them in Norwich. Yeah. Okay, we'll be back next with Neil Nixon.
Really weird, uncanny thing that did happen. And this is like, it's one of those what are the chances events. Paul McCartney had a unique Mini that was built for him by what was then BMC, what became British Leyland, right? It was a one-off Mini Cooper. It was a custom built. And that car was involved in a crash in January 1967, off the top of my head. And it was, these were the days when all the kind of rock stars in London who hung around in the middle of the week would decamp to the countryside at the weekend to have a proper drugs party where they weren't going to get busted, right?
Yeah.
And so it just so happened that a quantity of drugs was being ferried in Paul McCartney's Mini.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney was not at the wheel, yeah?
Yeah.
According to some stuff I researched, it in the book, the guy driving it was a bloke called Mohammed Chalabi, who bore an uncanny resemblance to Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Such that when the fans hung around outside of Paul McCartney's St. John's Wood apartment, if Mohammed Chalabi turned up, people would scream at him. And then he'd be like, oh. Yeah. I mean, that, as in 50 yards away, you think it's Paul, right?
Yeah.
And so this guy crashed a Mini Cooper in the middle of the Sussex countryside, or on the outskirts of London, heading into Sussex, basically, in 1967, with a quantity of illegal substances in it. So there's a guy looking like Paul McCartney, you know.
Yeah.
That's weird. What are the chances of that happening?
What's this I hear about you actually spoken to aliens? Is that true?
Oh, yeah. So I'm looking, again, I can bang on about, I'm fairly skeptical about this, but my whole take on a lot of the paranormal is that if you look at everything that humans create because they need to believe it, and then you go to the side and say, well, how many things can't we explain by that? That's the interesting stuff. Along the way, long story short, I was talking at a 40 and Times Unconvention, I think, years ago, and somebody in the backstage area who was in a UFO group told me that there was they knew somebody who was channeling aliens, right?
Yeah.
This is Contact UK, who was still existent, but I mean, they're pretty low-key now, aren't they? They were the lot that were founded by Lord Clancarty years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But they had somebody there that was channeling aliens. Absolutely phenomenally intelligent aliens that existed as pure energy in the atmosphere of the Earth. I mean, what's not to like here?
Yeah, that's good.
These are the people that Hawkwind are trying to introduce us to, but it's going to take a while. But the beauty of these aliens was that they would answer any question you wanted, although in a very British way. So you couldn't just rock up to see this guy and say, well, can you channel the alien for me? You actually had to send written questions in with a stamped addressed envelope, right? This is the mid-90s, so it just...
And a check, right?
Yeah. So yeah. I sent them six questions, five biggies, is there a God, all global warming and stuff like that. I got answers you'd predict.
Yeah.
The sixth question, I throw him a bit of a curveball. So I'm a Carlisle United supporter. We had a chairman at that point who was promising us Premier League football.
Michael Knighton.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the room, right. But yes, so an interesting 10 years anyway, but he was promising us Premiership football. And I asked the aliens in the written question, if you were Michael Knighton, how would you deliver Premiership football to Carlisle United, right? Yeah. No word of a lie. The reply I got was, the aliens would bake a cake containing the chairman's wishes. And when the players ate the cake, they'd deliver on the pitch, right? Now, sorry, but my take on that would be that is near enough proof that whatever was going on was in the channeler's mind. Because, yeah, excuse me, but as I've said when I talk about this in my live talks on UFOs, if you had that cake recipe, and you had like Conte and Thomas Tuchel in the room with the recipe. I mean, there's nothing Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua could do to match that fight.
That's an amazing story. Oh,
my God. But it did, that really happened. And I'm pretty sure Contact UK is still around. The super intelligent aliens were called the Metans or the Metans, M-E-T-A-N-S. I don't know whatever happened to them.
Sounds like a trash band, but yeah. Maybe they are.
I would play them, definitely.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. It's been really great talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you. Enjoyed that. Go well. Cheers. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. I'll edit it a little bit. That's really, really good. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you're from West Cumbria. What, Carlisle bit, is it?
I'm a Carlisle fan. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Huddersfield, but my family's from Walney Allen, Barrow in Furness. That's why.
Oh, right. Okay. So I didn't even grow up in the town. I went to school in Wigton, but I was out in the country. So I was halfway between Carlisle and Workington. So obvious thing about why I support Carlisle is that the only other viable alternative was Workington. And they were... They were, you know, the funny thing about Workington, this is absolutely true. They finally got kicked out of the league in the late 70s. And one of the two reasons, number one, they were awful and it was all long ball stuff. And secondly, whilst all the chairmen tended to vote to keep their mates in, the problem with Workington was it was so far from anywhere else that a lot of clubs didn't like the journey.
That's true.
But they were replaced by Wimbledon, who probably did more to promote long ball football than any team ever.
They were the kings of it, weren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Neil Nixon. That was fascinating. I mean, I love that story about Paul McCartney, not being Paul McCartney, but being a replacement. It's interesting how that came about, though, with that driver that looked like him, who had a crash ferrying drugs to the Beatles in Sussex. In the Mini Cooper that was specially made. There's only one of these Mini Coopers that was specially made for Paul McCartney. And this guy, who looked like him, crashed in that car. You can see where that story came from.
Yeah.
Those myths. But so many out there, those weird Beatles stories.
Mark Boland, wasn't there a story about him? He didn't really die or something because he crashed his car.
So where is he now?
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. The moon?
The moon, yeah. We're going to do an episode on the moon, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mark Boland, found on the moon.
With Elvis. But, you know, I wouldn't blame them, you know. Maybe they just want to get away, maybe fake a death and hide away somewhere and just get away from all the attention and, just have a quiet life.
A bit like me, really.
Yeah.
Living in Sandwich. Rock and roll.
Could be worse. Could be Hemel.
We've got, Hemel. Do you know Hemel is Dutch for heaven? It's a Dutch word for heaven. So there you go.
Heaven Hempstead.
Yeah, yeah. You can't diss one of the major towns that we live near.
We're
kind of losing track here, aren't
we? Yeah, yeah. Let's get back on track. So we talked about Yuri, didn't we?
Oh, yeah,
Yuri Geller and John Lennon and his story about Lennon's UFO alien experience in the last series. So next up, we've got Yuri Geller's brilliant My Island single. So we all know that Yuri's created a new country, Lamb Island.
Lamb Island, and this is the national anthem for Lamb Island. And actually, Nub TV, we are the official broadcasters of of Lamb Island.
What a privilege.
So not only are we, you know, on TV and on online, we are a national broadcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got, oh, we got 30,000 puffins as our as our audience.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's got to watch this shit.
So let's take it away. It's Lamb Island. No, it's not. It's My Island by Uri Geller. And what a great song. And at the end of the video, there's some more interesting facts around it that we'll tell you.
Cold from afar to this ancient land, legends tell tales I do not understand. Pharaohs and kings their treasures do reveal, with spells of the witches their fate have been sealed. Held by the tide, the iridescent sea, secrets of all, beguiling mystery. Mystic tales on waves of discovery, as to her we sail.
That was near.
In her arms, she whispers her sweet song. Magical voice, I feel a bond so strong.
Okay, that was Uri Geller with My Island, the national anthem of Lamb Island. There's so many islands involved, I'm just working.
Yeah, it's not easy, is no. it?
But yeah, it's an interesting place.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Did you know, mm-hmm. while Uri was recording that mm-hmm. track, like, bombs were going off?
Oh, where weren't they? Yeah.
There's one kind of recording where you can actually hear the bombs hitting really close to him.
Yeah, because he's not far from Gaza, that's where he right. is. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but he carried on singing.
Yeah, he's a true pro.
He is.
And he's looking for citizens for his island. So get in touch at urigeller.com and become a citizen of Lamb Island. Or proceeds are going to charity, which is great.
Yeah, you can join Stephen Fry, Peter Andre. Are you
I am,
a citizen?
Yeah. I'm chief composer.
Oh, really? Cool. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, so it's a fascinating project anyway.
It is. Yeah. Proud to be part of it.
Mm. Thanks, Uri. So, thank you for watching Nub TV. It's gone a bit off tangent, but we'll be back on a straight and narrow, a little weird and wonderful next time.
It's Nub TV.